Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our healing day of prayer, and we invite you to join us to call in and give us your prayer requests. God's Word goes forth out into the world and does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing, to bring courage and strength when we're struggling. So sit back and enjoy this hour of power, of conversation and prayer.
Well, praise God, everyone, and welcome to this Friday Healing Day of Prayer. And this is John Madrigal with you. It's good to be back and once again to be in the studio. And of course, today I think we have a very good program lined up. And with us today to unpack it all is our dear friend, sister in Christ, Grace Marquet. Welcome, Grace.
John, so nice to be here. Nice to be back with you. We had a little break there with the Christmas season.
And, yes, we did.
It's wonderful to be in the studio with you today and with all of our people here who help us to put this production on. I'm excited. I'm very excited about this program today, John.
I'm glad.
Yeah, I believe it's going to reach out so powerfully to those of you who are listening.
I think it's going to be enlightening to a lot of us.
I hope so. I prayed that, and we have a lot of people praying for the program, and I think it's going to be special.
And we have a number of prayer requests, so because this is also Friday Healing Day, and so we'll get to those requests. But Grace, you want to begin?
Sure, sure. As we said, it's going to be so powerful today, and I say to all of you, our wonderful listeners, if you are right now listening to this program on In His Sign Network, it tells us that you are seeking to know the Lord better in your life. You are seeking to grow in your relationship with the Lord, as we all are. Right, John? We all are.
Amen.
Doing that. And we often wonder if we are on the right track. You want to feel in your heart that God knows who you are, and you want Him to know what you are going through. You may wonder, does God know my name, and does He know how I am suffering or how much my family is suffering? You may question yourself and ask, why don't I have the faith that others have? I try to pray, but sometimes I don't feel anything when I pray. So what is missing in me that I see in others? I always feel down. I feel sad. And you beat on yourself. I feel lonely, depressed. What is wrong with me? Lord, do you even hear me? Lord, have you abandoned me? Well, my friends, hopefully you will be encouraged today to know that after all I just said, there is nothing wrong with you. Do you like that, John? After I told him you're suffering this and you're going through this and you're down and depressed, and I say, whoa, there is nothing wrong with you. You are not alone, my friends. And for those of you truly seeking God, you're probably going through, to some degree, what a very special saint, Saint John of the Cross, called the dark night of the soul. It is a difficult journey whose end result is to achieve exactly what you are looking for, a deeper union with the God who loves you so much. And yes, He knows your name. Right, John? He knows their name. So just as John said, today is our Friday day of prayer. We look forward to this. And we ask you to call in your prayer intentions, and John and I will be blessed to pray with you. Or if you don't want to be on the phone or in the studio on the air, you can call in your request and leave your prayer intention with Maureen or Mary, and they'll hand it to us, and we will pray for you. And as we did on our other programs, we will intercede to Saint John of the Cross for your intentions. He's
praise
a pretty
God.
Smart guy, John.
He
knows a lot, and if we're going to turn these intentions over to Him to give to the Lord, I think we're going to see some good results today. I really do. So we have a prayer here, and we'll begin with prayer, and then we'll give you our telephone numbers.
Amen.
How does that sound?
Sounds good to me.
Good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son,
and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, You are a God of mercy, and I marvel at the different ways your loving heart seeks to draw us back to you and calls us into a deeper union with you. There are so many things out there that pull us down, interrupt our peace, and drive us away from you. So many attachments and attractions that we let take priority over you, Lord. Yet you never leave us. You are silently there in the dark night that we are going through, ready to raise us up, no matter how long it takes for us to realize that you alone are what we are searching for. You alone are our peace. And what a word we hear you speak when we finally choose you at the end of our journey, a word beyond our imaginings. I will betroth you to myself, betroth you in faithfulness, betroth you in love. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, we'll give those phone numbers out, Grace, right?
Sure, we have them right here. And we have some prayer intentions also, like you said. That's wonderful. But we're going to give the phone numbers out, and you just call in, and we'll pray for you. We have 610-527-2906, 888-343-2484. And I'll repeat that. Numbers are 610-527-2906, 888-343-2484. So, we'll begin some prayer intentions, John. Before we start sharing on St. John of the Cross, as you know, our priority here on this program is to pray for your intentions. So, we ask you to call in, take those numbers we gave you, and we have some already here. John, could you look at those and start
Let's start off with Kathy, who was recently hospitalized with seizures. I'm praying for healing for all these particular people. For Mickey, who suffers from depression and anxiety, and boy, a number of people, Grace, have are battling that addiction. You know that that sometimes, you know, we all go through sometimes ourselves, and so I want to lift it up in a special way today.
And that is for Mickey, you have there?
Mickey, yes.
Suffering from depression and anxiety.
For Jeremy, 48-year-old, who has end-stage kidney failure. So we pray for Jeremy today. For Amelia, who will be having surgery at the end of the month. For Donnie, who has special intentions. Elizabeth Palos suffers terribly with migraines, and they can be very, very painful.
Many people have that problem. It just puts them down for quite a while sometimes, and then repeats and repeats. And
I just hope
they would find that something that, that would help those situations. They're horrible migraines.
Elizabeth Galloway, who has severe pain in the knee. So we lift up Elizabeth today, Lord. To you, and for Stephanie and her daughters, Natalie and Anne, prayers for their families and for their intentions. All this, Lord, we lift up to you through the intercession of St. John of the Cross. And for Gregoria, who suffers with chronic toe and foot pain, along with high blood pressure. And finally, for Suzanne, for medical recovery.
Let me see that here.
Okay.
And that's what greets us as we walk in. Already the prayer requests are here, and that's wonderful. And we just lift every one of them up to you, Lord. You know that need. You know that suffering.
Yes, Lord.
You know that pain in their hearts. You know what is keeping them from doing things in their hearts they want to do as this new year begins. So much to look forward to, and so many of them are down, Lord. So, and that's the purpose of this program today, John, to take intentions like this, hand them to St. John of the Cross, who, as I said, was a very bright man, a very holy man.
He was a doctor of the church,
yes,
right?
Yes, he was. Yes, he was a doctor of the church. And I know he's anxious today to take these intentions to God.
Yes.
It's almost like more and more people are starting to speak about John of the Cross. Before he wasn't, you know, the people who were contemplatives really knew about mm-hmm. him. But now it's growing. And we're bringing his name before you and asking him to take these beautiful intentions to God. And we're believing we're going to see results today. We're believing that John's going to, and your name is John, too.
I'm John.
And you love John the Beloved. That's your favorite saint, right? John the Beloved. You picked a good one, John.
I picked it, he picked me.
You're right. You're right. He did pick. I know you love him so much.
Yes, thank you.
And when you give your talks on John the Beloved, they're marvelous. They're just
thank
wonderful.
You.
So, Lord, we're thrilled to be here, and we just unite ourselves with all of those names that
yes.
we just mentioned, Lord.
Yes,
you know
do.
Who they are. You know what they need, and you know, Lord, all it takes is a touch from you, Lord. All it takes is a smile from you, a word from you, a thought from you, and results could come, healings could take place, and that's what we're praying for today.
Mm.
So, here we are now. We're speaking of John of the Cross.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give the telephone numbers one more time so we'll be prepared for another group here. 610-527-2906, 888-343-2484. St. John of the Cross was a Spanish mystic who was born in the 16th century. The Dark Night is actually a poem comprised of 8 stanzas of 5 lines each. His poem narrates the journey of the soul, my soul, your soul, from our beginning steps to our mystical union with God. St. John of the Cross called this journey the Dark Night because darkness represents the fact that the destination, who is God, is unknowable. We are seeking to get to the kingdom, and there is a journey that we encounter to get there. There have been many, many authors who have taken this poem of St. John of the Cross and his other writings and given their interpretation of our spiritual crisis in that journey toward union with God. The ups and the downs, the highs and the lows that never seem to end. Many of us may not attain that spiritual pinnacle. So we do the best we can, right, John?
Amen.
I mean, that climb is unbelievable. And we just have to say, keep very human and not get too, you know, crazy with this.
Mm-hmm.
And say, Lord, I'm doing the best I can, and I'm going to keep striving for that. Many of our great saints have gone through this dark night. And you, my friends listening here, you're not alone when you're going through a great suffering or a tremendous trial. St. Teresa of the Child Jesus suffered through a prolonged period of spiritual dryness, and that's what they call it, dryness. They say, I feel nothing when I pray. She even declared to her nuns, if you only knew what darkness I am plunged into. And of course, we are well aware of the darkness and suffering that our dear St. Padre Pio endured for a long time. Even being put up in his room to say Mass, he wasn't allowed to go into the chapel and say Mass for the congregation for 2 years. What a painful thing. And his darkness probably went on for like 15 years with all that he went through. He's a dear, dear man. And the thing about him is he died in our time. He
yes,
was a man
did.
Of our time. 1968 he died.
That's right.
So we can really relate to him. And also when you see the accounts of Mother Teresa of Calcutta, oh, my God. I saw the Knights of Columbus just put out a DVD on her. And, you know, you think you know Mother Teresa a little about her. But when you see that DVD, I want to tell you, it's unbelievable. And, oh, my, she wrote of the depth of her spiritual darkness for close to 50 years.
50 years.
50 years in that darkness, John. She said, you cannot work with the poor unless you suffer like them. And did she ever suffer with them, ministering to the most destitute? And what we see as we journey through this dark night in our own lives is not that God has abandoned you, but God is actively pursuing you by seemingly withdrawing from you. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna repeat that. What we see, you and I and all of our listeners, what we see as we journey through this dark night in our lives is not that God has abandoned you, but God is actively pursuing you by seemingly withdrawing from you. Mm-hmm. Now, that's something to think about. Hmm? This is an action of God who wants you to one day be with him in the kingdom. He loves you that much. So relax today and say, there is nothing wrong with me. I am in the hands of God. Though I may not always feel like I am, he is there. And he knows your name.
Yes, we truly have to thank St. John of the Cross, who explains the why to us in our weakness, when our journey becomes almost impossible, almost unbearable. He was given the gift to deeply reveal the actions of God in our lives, to explain our journey from feelings of abandonment to union with God. St. John of the Cross was a Discalced Carmelite who helped St. Teresa of Avila reform the Carmelite order. Tremendous reforms were needed to save the order. St. Teresa was very impressed with his gifts, and he shared the same mystical experiences and spiritual direction that she possessed and put into action. She established many monasteries and convents, combined over 30 of them. Because of his efforts, John of the Cross was kidnapped by those who didn't agree with him and wanted to stop him. His own Carmelite brothers kidnapped him. He endured great persecution and imprisonment. He later escaped from that prison. And he and St. Teresa of Avila did succeed in reforming the Carmelite order. It is believed he wrote the poem The Dark Night while in prison. It is a classical masterpiece, along with all his other works, that places him on the intellectual and the philosophical level as St. Augustine and St. Thomas Aquinas. In his writings, he addresses the dark areas in our lives that we have to come to terms with as we pass through our dark night. He addresses our pride, our envy, our greed, our lust, gluttony, wrath, and other human imperfections that we must deal with and overcome.
Mm. Mm. Amen. Amen and amen. And John, I saw you say he was a Discalced Carmelite.
Yeah.
And do you know what Discalced Carmelite means?
Well, without shoes,
without
right?
Without shoes.
Well, at least sandals?
Maybe sandals. I don't know. When I read that and saw what it was, I said, I don't think I could become a Discalced Carmelite. I don't think my little feet could take it. I don't know. But anyway, they're marvelous people. Oh, my goodness. They're very holy, beautiful people. And, John, you know that when we started this walk to develop a deeper relationship with the Lord, we were excited. Remember, we were excited. Mm-hmm. When we discovered and sensed the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It was a honeymoon period with the Lord. Mm. You remember those prayer meetings?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, we had a wonderful time. We sensed the presence of our beloved, our God, who delighted in revealing his love for us in ways that we could readily experience. Mm. Yes, Lord, keep the coming. Send that feeling down. We love those feelings. This is great. You were there with your guitar. And singers singing, and Anne-Marie was singing, and everyone was clapping, and we still can do that. I mean, I'm not taking that away. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be that mean. We can still have all that fun and do all that. But it seemed that our lives were full of those consolations, and there's that word. That's what it's called, consolations, the good stuff. We needed to experience some of those good feelings. We sang, we praised God. Oh, my, that was so wonderful. It was something like being a newborn baby, John. Hmm? Mm-hmm. Discovering all new exciting sights and sounds and love. We wanted the whole world to feel what we were feeling. But if we were to grow in holiness, we would have to be weaned off the baby milk. We would have to learn to walk by faith and not by feelings. We had to learn that our strength would be in knowing that God is with us and loves us, even if we do not feel his consolations that we long for. These are the times when our greatest growth in holiness takes place. These are also the times when we feel our greatest abandonment. Where are you, God? Where did you go? Those times when we are so burdened, so pained, so empty inside that nothing fills that void. No words, no pictures, no music, no presence, nothing, nothing. Even our own prayer seems to fail us. Those times when we can't fake the smile anymore. When the heaviness in our spirit is so overwhelming that we feel stuck in one place, that we feel hedged in, and no matter how hard we try to get out of this place, we can't seem to make it happen. And we say, it must be me. I must be doing something wrong. I don't feel my God the way I used to. He's left me for some reason. He is not pleased with me. He's punishing me. My God has abandoned me. And you know, John, just yesterday, someone told me, she says, you know, I pray, I do a lot of stuff. She said, but you know, I'm going through something. She said, I don't feel the way I did. I don't get those feelings. I couldn't believe she said that to me. And I said, do me a favor, listen to the radio program tomorrow. I said, we are going to be discussing the very thing, dear, that you're talking about. So congratulations, join the crowd.
Yeah.
But see, there are times when our God actually allows us to be in this place of desolation, isolation, and loneliness. He allows us to experience such dryness in our daily life, in our prayer life, and we say, no, no, God wouldn't do that. He's a God of love. He would never allow that to happen. And that would go against God's very nature, which is love. So we find ourselves explaining God away. We find ourselves making excuses for God. But this is what is so incredible. It is this very love of God that in our anguish, in our affliction and suffering, strips us of self, purifies us in the furnace of humiliation, and fills us with a self-knowledge that may be crushing to us as we see our defects and our sins before us. This act of love on God's part is preparing us for something much greater.
Grace, we were blessed to have known a beautiful priest, Father Andrew Apostoli.
Yes.
He was a Franciscan friar of the Renewal. He is now with the Lord. And he reached the height of that spiritual journey that we're talking about today, union with God. Well, Father Andrew gave presentations on the dark night of the soul, and he broke down that journey into three parts. It is the same division that St. John of the Cross used in explaining these stages, these passages that we go through. Early church fathers spoke of the three stages. The first stage is called the purgative way. He compares it to our childhood stage. I'm a beginner. I'm still on the baby milk. In this stage, I try to break away from sin and move closer to God. I try to keep God's commandments. I share the love of my brothers and sisters. My soul is being purified from attachment to the world, the flesh, and the devil. And in this stage, I can still experience the consolations of God in my journey and the consolations of his presence. Feel good.
They do. The consolations always feel good. And in this stage that you just talked about, the purgative way, the childhood stage, God allows those condolences and those consolations, rather, and those good feelings to stay. They're still there in our early stages, as I said, like we're little babies, you know, being weaned off the milk. And that comes then in the illuminative way. That's stage two in the dark night, where we move from childhood to the adolescent stage, comparing it to our life cycle. The adolescent stage, puberty, the illuminative way. And as a loving mother weans her child away from her milk, our loving God will wean us away from those consolations. wean us away from our pride, our envy, our greed, all of the imperfections of the senses. And this is the dark night of the senses. We're starting to grow in understanding, illuminative light. Light in our mind grows to know God. Not only book knowledge, but love for God and his love for me. God will lead us away from an inordinate love of self to a higher degree of love for him. A person can grow in virtue during this phase. These seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, like wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel. Mm-hmm. Remember them? Fortitude, piety, mm-hmm. fear of our Lord. Yeah. We had to memorize them. School, yeah. We had to memorize them.
That's right.
Then we had to do them. Oh, my, it was a wonderful time back then. Anyway, those are our Lord's gifts to us from baptism. But they're not yet developed. In this stage, God is starting to develop those in us. And God pulls his consolations away. Uh-oh. There goes those wonderful feelings we had. And he's pulling them away from us in this illuminative stage. And there are three dangers in this stage when you're in that adolescent stage. And he calls them spiritual gluttony. Oh, my.
Wow, what a term.
What a term. Mm. But it says it perfectly because spiritual gluttony means I want to feel those consolations or I'm going to get upset, God. Mm. You gave me those feelings. I'm not getting what I want. God has to detach me from that. And how many people won't pray till they get those consolations? So God immediately pulls back his presence. Where did he go? Doesn't he love me anymore? I think it was Archbishop Sheen or maybe Francis de Sales who said, we must seek the God of consolation, not the consolations of God. Mm-hmm. Another dangerous state in that stage of the illuminative way is spiritual pride. Mm-hmm. Now that we've grown a little bit, we say, how do I look? I've grown. I've grown in my spirituality. I don't have some of those faults anymore. In fact, I think I've grown. I'm a little bit more spiritual than that person in my prayer group. Spiritual pride. God will permit trials to make us aware of our faults. We can't see them by ourselves. And God has to get in there because you are trusting in yourself instead of in the grace of God. And the third danger of that state, and I like this word too, spiritual laziness. Wow. Mm. I don't want to say all the prayers I used to say. I've kind of grown from this. I don't want to say all those prayers. There's a resistance to acts of charity. Whereas before, I want to do this. I want to go visit that one, pray with this one. A little bit of a resistance. I want my own comfort. Mm. I don't want to be disturbed.
Well, there's one more stage. Now we come to the third way, the unitive way, adulthood. This does not happen overnight. In this stage, you reach a high level of sanctity. This is the dark night of the spirit. There is constant union of God with the soul, and the soul with God. We want to do his will, not our own will. We oppose evil. We want to bring souls closer to God. You truly love God as you never loved him before. We must be purified before we enter this stage. God still withdraws his presence. Total darkness. No consolations at all. Well, Grace, on that note, we're going to just pause for a moment, take a break, and when we come back, we're going to pick up again on St. John of the Cross, Doctor of the Church, Spanish mystic, Carmelite. And so when we come back, we'll be picking that up. And Grace Marquet here with us, John Madrigal. Stay with us. We're coming right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road? As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Well, praise God, we're back, and this is John Madrigal with Grace Marquet. Okay, Grace, let's pick up where we left off.
Sure. We went through what John of the Cross called these three stages
yes.
of the dark night, and the purgative stage, the illuminative stage, which has those three dangers: the danger of spiritual gluttony, spiritual pride, spiritual laziness. And that's our adolescent stage. And as you said, we came to the third way, the unitive way. Mm-hmm. And that's when we reach the high level of sanctity, dark night of the spirit. And even though the soul has reached that high state, still the Lord isn't ready to pour all his kinds of good feelings on them. They're still in total darkness, no consolations at all. And what is the highest place in the unitive way? The highest place is when you close your eyes in your last moment of life, and God takes you by the hand and leads you to the kingdom and betroths you to himself. That is the journey that you walked through your dark night. My beloved is mine, and I am his. Now, at this point, we have a few more prayer intentions.
You want to do them?
Sure.
Why
we can get some
them?
Of these. That's what we're about here. And let's see. We have, praying for Sharon. Sharon is praying for Martin. He's her co-worker. He has kidney cancer. We know how difficult that is. I know my own dear sister-in-law, that was the ultimate when it finally did go to the kidney. And we just pray for you, and I'm going to ask her, our dear Mary Kate in heaven, to pray for Martin for this kidney cancer. Mm-hmm. And we have Christine is asking for prayers for Charles Donahue, who was mugged in Puerto Rico. He's the nephew of her co-worker. He's in the Coast Guard, and they don't have any details surrounding the case because he blacked out. He can't remember anything. So they're praying for healing for him and also to help them get some information. How can we know what he looked like when he was being attacked and so on? So they need that. So we pray for Charles Donahue. And we have an update on Dean. We prayed for him last time. And Dean was the fellow who was the nephew of Mary DeAngelis. Mm-hmm. He was in his 20s. And if you recall, he had volunteered for an organization called Living Faith in Greece. And he would go into the refugee camps, supply food and clothes. He was a wonderful guy. And he was in a very serious accident. I understand over there they have mopeds that run all over the place. And he was hit, and it could have been a fatal accident. It put him in an induced coma to relieve pressure on his brain. And his parents went to Greece to be with him. And he has been recovering slowly, slowly. And his mother said that he was just cleared to go back to their home in Arizona, where he will have additional treatment. Also, he'll have cognitive therapy. And she said to please thank everyone who prayed for him. So that's all of you guys out there who when we mention his name, were calling and wanting to know how he was doing. And they believe their son was a miracle. And they sense that the doctors over there felt that way too. So thank you for your prayers, and we will continue to pray for Dean for his healing. And we have one here, Sherry. Sherry is diagnosed with multiple myeloma. And again, there is a connection here. I know Sherry. Mm-hmm. She is the sister-in-law of my brother and his dear wife, Mary Kate, that I just told you about, who mm-hmm. passed away. She and Sherry were very close. Mm-hmm. We're praying that Sherry won't need a bone marrow transplant and that she responds to her treatment very well. Let me tell you, Sherry's a great nurse. She's the kind of nurse you would want taking care of you or your parents.
Yeah.
And she ministered to so many people, mm-hmm. and she just retired in August and then got this word. She was ready to just relax now in September and so on, and mm-hmm. just got this word. So we're going to pray for her and pray that these treatments do work for her. She certainly is a beautiful person. So we have, we're going to kind of move on. We mentioned that betrothal in
yes,
the unitive stage.
Yeah.
When that person mm-hmm. just goes right into the kingdom, God mm-hmm. greets them and betroths them.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine betrothal to God? That's a marriage.
It's a marriage.
The bride
sure.
and the bridegroom married to God.
Mm-hmm.
That is unbelievable. And that is what we described in that third state. And the pinnacle of which very few souls attain on this earth. St. John calls it the dark night of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it is an actual call to betrothal with the beloved, as spoken of in Hosea. I will betroth you to me through faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's a far more vigorous purging of the spirit. St. Therese of the Child Jesus said of her early years in Carmel, she said, spiritual aridity was my daily bread. He leaves me in darkness. He leaves me in darkness. She says, today I was deprived of all consolations. And her words could be echoed by many of our great saints who have experienced that state of complete and total union with the beloved, where they can say without reservation, as St. Teresa of Avila said, God alone sufficeth.
Oh,
that is the statement.
God alone.
That out of everything out there that we try and do, the attachments, this, mm-hmm. that, you're able to say from your heart, God, you alone sufficeth. That's beautiful. That really is.
Well, what a journey it is. And now we're going to be easy on you. I'm going to play some music. And the song that we're going to play is called Haven't I Taken You This Far? Now, as you listen to the song, God is speaking, and it is truly a song that will lead you through the dark night. It takes you through the pain and the suffering when you feel that God has abandoned you.
Taken you this far. Look
Praise God. We got through it. What a beautiful rendition of a song. Haven't I taken you this far?
Haven't heard it in a while.
Wow, it was beautiful, Grace.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, it really truly was. Very, very timely. Mm. And the topic that we're discussing was St. John of the Cross and the Dark Night of the Soul. Mm. And Lord, where are you and who are you?
Man, I mean, in putting it together, I just, this was before John of the Cross.
Yeah.
And it was only, you know, after this all was coming out, and then I looked at the words again, I said, oh my goodness, this is a perfect song for the dark night of the soul. It says it all, especially when it keeps saying, like you said, where are you, God? Where are you? Where did you go? And yet, and when all is said and done, just see how far you've come. Come here, my precious one. Come see that prize you won. Haven't I taken the prize? Of course, it is betrothal. Come see the prize you've won. Heaven, betrothal to God Almighty. Oh boy,
I love it.
That was special. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Frank, for playing that. Appreciate that. And I just hope it touched you guys out there.
I'm sure.
So, you know, just getting back to saying there's nothing wrong with you.
Nothing wrong with you. Amen.
Yeah. So now let's come back down to earth. Okay?
Yeah.
We're going to, for all this spiritual stuff, we're going to come right back down to earth. I'm going to say hi to Louise out there. Okay? Special person listening from way up in Massachusetts, and her family's in Columbia, South America, and they're in Bethesda, and they're in Massachusetts, and how wonderful to have them in here. And anyway, I spoke with someone recently who said she repeatedly read John of the Cross over the years, and she walked through so much of what he and Teresa of Avila said. She said she knew a lot about the Dark Night, and she decided her walk would have to be experiential and essentially the result of a profound prayer life. She is no longer obsessed with what level she is on. We're talking stages and stages. She says, I'm no longer obsessed with the level. In her spiritual life, she's not no longer obsessed with the level. She said she just prays and surrenders to God each day for his design for her in her life. She said, I attend daily mass, go to confession regularly, I say my rosary, and she is a third order Franciscan, like you, John. She is a third, and your wife, she's a third order Franciscan. Now, I heard her words, and I said, boy, those words are full of wisdom. God doesn't want us to get bogged down in those times when we're experiencing difficulties in our lives. He wants us to keep moving on with those spiritual things that did mean so much to us, okay? Don't drop them. That's what God wants of you. Even if you don't feel them as you did before. Continue with your prayer life, with your Mass, the Eucharist, your retreats, the Chapel of the Divine Mercy. You are seeking God through your faith in him and not through your feelings. And that is exactly what he wants. He wants that, your faith, not your feelings. So just leave those stages to him, okay? Because if you don't, you're going to get a scrupulous conscience.
Oh, you don't want that.
You don't want that. That's not from God. Say, no. I didn't do my chaplet today. God's going to be angry with me. And no, he's not. So you do it tomorrow. You know, you just have to be careful of that scrupulous conscience that can really do a number on you, you know? So we have here just some... there's some souls here, some dear friends we're going to pray for now as I pray. We pray for our intentions for, let's see, I should have it right here somewhere. Yes, for those who have passed, we have intentions here. The repose of the soul of Bob Iatesta.
Yes, Bob Iatesta.
Bob Iatesta did a lot. He and his wife, Anime, were a team. And they did...
Living Bridges.
Living Bridges. In fact, Living Bridges had their office right above us. And they did she did a show. They did a show for fathers. They were very active in the charismatic renewal. And they gave many talks and retreats. And they were just known all over. I know where Bob is today. Anyway, Bob passed. And Nicole's 46 years old. Dear friend of Christina up there in Connecticut, let's see. And Nicole passed away. And I believe she may have died of cancer here. She suffered a long time. And Nicole and Christina and their other friends from high school, they stayed connected. Stayed connected, and she passed at 46. And I pray for Marianne. Do you recall when we prayed for that wonderful woman, Annie, a while back? She was in her 90s. She's a great nurse, a great lady. Well, she passed away, and now her goddaughter, Marianne, was an exceptional woman. And she recently passed, which was a shock to her family. She wasn't really sick, you know. She was in the hospital, and then they discovered pneumonia, and she passed quickly. And the sad thing is her daughter will be married in June. So that is so sad to lose her mother at this time. We pray for Barbara Johnson, who's the mother of Ken Johnson, who is on his sign, on this his sign network, on this network on Wednesdays with
Saints and Sinners.
Yes, Saints and Sinners with Father Doug McKay. And Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, will be the third anniversary of the passing of my dear sister Rita. She is greatly missed. And just 3 short months later, my dear sister Dolores passed of COVID. So we're also including in that all the holy souls. We're praying for them.
We have a caller on the line, Grace, so let's go to line one and let's go to Jackie. Okay. Hi, Jackie. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Hi, Jackie.
Say hello to Grace.
Hi, Grace.
Hi, how Jackie. How are you?
Good. I wanted to say congratulations to Kathleen McCarthy, too, for her son being exonerated from that terrible trial they were in.
We were waiting for, in fact, that was going to be my next petition. We were waiting for that result.
Amen. Yeah.
Did you just get that result?
No, I had heard it. My husband had heard it. He listens to a lot of different podcasts and stuff, so it was already thrown out.
It was already thrown out.
Praise God.
I'm pretty sure that's what he told me. So we were praying for that for a while.
I know.
Yeah, a lot of people praying, Jackie.
Amen. That is.
So I just wanted to say that that was a beautiful song, because I've been feeling the same way, I guess a lot of people have with all the stuff that's going on with COVID and everything, that you really have to keep your head up and keep going and stay in confession, the Mass, the rosary, you know, and that's main things, you know, and you have to keep going. You can't let anything keep knocking you down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was in a car accident a couple of weeks, about a month ago, but thank God nobody got hurt. Car was totaled. I had an infection in my leg the month before. The month before, I was in the hospital for high blood pressure.
Mm.
And I'll tell you, God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
You got to say, I refuse to give up.
Mm.
And there's a beautiful song on K-Love. It's called I Surrender.
Oh, yeah, I Surrender. I'm familiar with it.
Where you had to just say, Lord, I don't know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I surrender.
Amen.
You know, and just put everything in his hands, and he will walk you through.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Jackie.
Thank you for calling
today,
Jackie.
Thank you for calling. We've been waiting for an answer like that. I may share it quickly with our listening audience so they know what we're talking about with this case. And I appreciate your making that call to remind us of that.
I'm pretty sure, so I'm hoping. I thought you guys would have known.
Well, actually, we were waiting. We heard that the prosecution just, what's the expression, they finished their case, or
they rested
the prosecution. I was just talking to Maureen, and she said the prosecution rested their case. So, you know, we're waiting, but we're hoping that we get the result we want. So, but thank you for calling, Jackie. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. God bless you, dear.
Can I get prayer really fast for my uncle's soul who just passed yesterday, Don Duffy.
Oh, sure. In fact, what we were going to do, I'm sure you heard, we just mentioned some of the dear friends who have passed. We're going to put his name in there. Say it again. Say his name.
Don Duffy.
Don Duffy. Lord, we include Don Duffy in that group of five that we just mentioned. As we all pray, eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord,
and let perpetual light shine upon them.
May their souls and the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. And amen.
And amen.
Thank you.
And
God
may you
bless
have
you,
peace with the death of Don. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
That was
bye
Jackie.
Bye.
All right, we got four petitions here come off the air, intentions. Would you want to mention these, Grace?
Sure, it's wonderful. A lot of intentions today. It's wonderful. Aaron has Bell's palsy. Aaron, is that right? And this is Arlene.
Mm-hmm.
Arlene, depression.
Depression again.
Again, depression. Anthony is in prison. Joe is in recovery. That's how it's worded. So we lift them up to you, Lord. Aaron with the Bell's palsy, just give peace to that face. I think it's that a stroke or something in the face.
Yeah, Bell's palsy. Oh, yes.
In the face, right? Yes. We pray that eases. Mm-hmm. That goes away for her. Arlene, depression. I know depression. My dad suffered with depression for a long time.
Yeah, you told
And it was
me.
Our Blessed Lady who healed him. Our Lady of Ephesus, in
Lady
particular.
Of Ephesus.
Turkey. Our Lady of Ephesus healed my dad of depression. Mm-hmm. And Anthony, Arlene, I'm just going to ask Our Lady of Ephesus to pray for you. And also St. John of the Cross.
John of the Cross.
He dealt with all that, with depression. I know it's ministering to people that way. And Anthony in prison. Anthony, we just pray, God, that whatever it was, God knows what it was. And we pray that you are healed through it, that you find a new life through whatever may have taken place. We pray for your healing. And then once that takes place, you're able to leave that prison. Joe, in recovery, we pray for you. Just take in everything you can in recovery, Joe. They have so much to offer you. Those steps that they give you, those 12 steps, just get into them, because those steps are going to lead you deeply into the Lord. God bless you, Joe.
Amen.
Okay. So I don't know if I have time to tell our fans here, our group here, what happened there with they're talking about the case. Mark Halk and his wife, Ryan Marie Halk, Ryan, you may have heard of him. He's a pro-life person whose home was invaded by the FBI agents. This story started around Philadelphia, went around the world. They have seven children. The raid took place in front of their children and traumatized them. They have been peaceful for over 20 years at the abortion centers. There was a pro-abortion extremist who attacked his 12-year-old son. Well, Mark moved in to push him away and leave his son alone. And the extremist filed a complaint, which was thrown out because the extremist didn't show up for the hearings. Well, all of a sudden, let's see, Mark's lawyers offered to take Mark in to settle this. And all of a sudden, 25 FBI agents showed up at their home. His wife said their front yard, which is large, was covered with at least 15 big trucks and cars. There were men and women in jackets and shields with helmets and guns. They were kind of hiding behind cars. The children witnessed this. The Philadelphia district attorney is not a friend of pro-life. He is a George Soros ally, according to Mark's lawyer. He refused to press charges against this extremist. So now the court case, we knew it was going on. It was going on today, and we heard that the prosecution had rested its case. And Jackie was saying that it was exonerated. So we're going to know maybe within the next few minutes what actually did happen or if the case is continuing. Let's see. And what makes it especially dear to our hearts, Mark's wife is the daughter of Kathleen McCarthy, and Mark is her son-in-law. Kathleen is the president of In His Sign Network. This radio network that we are speaking on, Kathleen is the president, and Mark is her son-in-law. And they're wonderful, God-fearing people. So we really need to pray for these people. And sadly, this is what we're starting to see in our nation. It's horrible. Mark's lawyer said all they had to do was send two FBI agents to their home, knock on the door. There was no need to drag the head of the family out violently. You don't have to violate the sanctity of the home, pointing guns at them. The children have been crying, especially in the courtroom this week when the 12-year-old heard what they were saying about his father. So we really need to pray. We need to pray that that this case is exonerated. Set these people free. Really, it's terrible what is going on in this nation. And all you guys listening know this. You know what is going on in America. America needs a major healing. America needs prayer. America needs God. That's what America needs. And I just want to say that that Mother Teresa, we spoke of her, Mother Teresa's sisters, the Sisters of Charity, heard about this case. And they placed a photo of the family on the tomb of Mother Teresa in India. That's amazing. I wouldn't want to go against Mother Teresa.
No.
So anyway, we pray also. There are religious persecutions going on around the world, especially in Nigeria. And I heard this morning the priests are being kidnapped. One priest was set on fire in his home and died. There are beheadings of the women. There are all kind of horrible things going on. So we really need to be a people who pray. We really, really need to pray. So just remember that your Lord above you loves you, and it's so beautiful. I think I may want
to... We're down to a minute to go,
okay,
Grace.
Okay, then I'm going to close with the Song of Solomon. This is in Scripture, my dear friends, and it's everything we've talked about. And here are some of the passages. I hear my beloved. He looks in at the window. He peers through the lattice. He is knocking. I rose to go to my beloved, but he had turned his back and gone. My soul failed at his flight. I sought him, but did not find him. I called to him, but he did not answer. I will rise and go through the city and the streets and the squares. I will seek him whom my heart loves. I sought him, but did not find him. I came upon the watchman in the city making his rounds. Have you seen him whom my heart loves? Well, scarcely had I passed the watchman, than I found him whom my heart loves. I held him fast, and I will not let him go.
And with that in mind, if you're away from the church, come on home. We're not complete without you. Till next time, God bless you.